It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball. You hit the ball. You catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, the New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Bosswoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome into the Baseball Reporters. No Tony Maz today, so that means yours truly, Jim Murray, manning the helm here of the Baseball Reporters tonight. And thankfully, the host of Hardcore Baseball, which you should be listening to and downloading via 98.5sportshub.com, Matt McCarthy, alongside, who is really the de facto host tonight, because you wouldn't be hosting the Hardcore Baseball podcast if you truly didn't care about your ball team and the sport as a whole, which... For anyone that follows me with any regularity on social media or the occasional quips that I'll make during the Baseball Reporters with Maz, like, I've kind of lost it. It's kind of broke me. I was saying during the Felger and Maz show today, McCarthy, one of the great things about sports, at least for me, is that you can learn from sports. There's life lessons you can get from sports. And I realized recently when I try to sit through a random Red Sox Orioles game, like last week, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I've come to the realization that I learned sort of the hard way, via the Red Sox and baseball as a whole, like, one of the things that I wanted in my past desperately was to be the public address announcer at Fenway Park for the Boston Red Sox. And I've had two opportunities, two, to do just that, to audition back in 2003, which was kind of a sham. They knew that they were going to install...
Carl Bean.
Carl Bean, thank you.
Who was awesome.
Yes, who was amazing at it and rightfully got the job and unfortunately passed in 2012 and had another opportunity in 2012. And in 2012, I really, really, really wanted it. And I had a legit shot. And I got to audition again in a random game in July against the Marlins. And I was miffed that I didn't get it. And I thought, I was like, ah, man. Well, life lesson from that. If I got that job, I'd be the most miserable person on the planet. I can't imagine. So tonight, as the Red Sox welcome in the lowly Blue Jays, who come into Fenway Park with a record of 27-48, Matt McCarthy, and have lost five of their last seven games, and say there's a rain delay because there's weather tonight, having to sit there for God knows, like maybe 5-6 hours with a rain delay, I'd want to die. So what I wanted then, as I got older, I realized, see, you didn't get it for a reason, dummy. You would have been miserable if you got it. So a life lesson from baseball and the Red Sox. But am I being too harsh on your sport?
No, not at all. You're not being harsh at all on this sport. And Jim, if I'm saying that, you know, somebody who lives, breathes, eats, sleeps, dies baseball, if I'm saying that, you got a problem, Major League Baseball. These games are taking too long. You have a great series against the Twins. Monday night's game was an awesome baseball game. It was quick. There was a lot to talk about. A 2-1 ball game, great pitching. It's everything you could possibly want from the sport. Then you play 17 innings the next night. 17 innings, and you follow up a good series against a good team with a series that, my God, I'm going to watch this weekend because I have to, but even I don't want to watch it. And that's a real problem for baseball. If I'm saying that, what's the more casual fan or what's somebody like you thinking? That's a real issue.
And I appreciate that you feel that way. I really do. And you're one of the rare baseball guys that truly loves the sport, Matt, that you're not like an uppity DB about it. Because a lot of people that are like that feel the way that you do about the sport get very defensive.
Give me 30 years and I'll be one of those people. I'll be one of these John Heyman baseball nanas.
Yeah, the baseball nanas. But, you bring up Monday night's game, which was a great pitching performance, followed by that 17 inning, and then I thought a really good performance from Eduardo Rodriguez, who bailed out the bullpen the next night. So I do still got to watch because of the job, but when you get games like Monday night, and when you get good series, good competitive series against good competition, like the Red Sox taking 2 out of 3 from Minnesota, then it's more palatable to me. So I want to dial it back and get your thoughts on that series, because I wasn't too hot on some of the stuff that you heard from the team, specifically the manager, Alex Cora, who were saying, like, hey, you know, we've it was Christian Vasquez after that Orioles series on Sunday, like, you know, walked by some of the reporters and said, like, hey, guys, we're back. Like, all right, everybody calm down. Like, all right, you swept the Orioles and you swept the Royals a couple of weeks ago. It's terrible competition. But how have you fared against some of the better teams? And up until Minnesota, not that great. So what did you take out of that series? Because Maz said yesterday, he declared, they're back. You know, maybe they are onto something.
Yeah, they're pretty close to back, I'd say. I mean, they looked really good for the most part in that series against a team that I think is pretty good. I think Minnesota impressed me a lot in that series, too. That being said, Jim, it's still the first series win they've had against a team with a winning record since they swept Tampa Bay accidentally back in April. They have 2 wins this year. Count it, 2 wins against teams over 500, 2 series wins. So that tells you a lot about this Red Sox team. Sure, they might be back, they might be playing better baseball, and they might be on their way to October right now, but are they as good as the Yankees? Are they as good as the Astros? Are they as good as the Twins? I mean, maybe more on par with that team. They're a second-tier team in the American League, and that's what they've proven to me until, you know, from now and, you know, from the beginning of the season until the middle of June. They're still a second-tier team in the American League. They should be better than that. I'm happy they're playing better baseball right now. There's no denying that. That twin series means something. They're still not as good as they should be. And that's a problem for a team with a $240 million payroll, with a lot of changes coming in the next year or two.
The offense has started to pick things up a bit. You're still, you know, not getting what you got last year out of guys like J.D. Martinez, who's been dealing with a back issue. Mookie Betts, who the hell knows what's going on with Mookie Betts. Sometimes, and Chris Gasper brought it up there in Fellmer Mass today, sometimes you look at him and he just looks like, meh. But I know the Fangraphs, I recently saw this, Fangraphs still had the Red Sox as their team, their number one team in Major League Baseball to like essentially have the market correction for their offense going forward, and they have them at number one for their projection for the rest of the season. And it does seem like they have picked up as of late. So, okay, let's say the offense is going to be just fine. What are other areas of concern for you? Is it just simply the bullpen and that's it, or where else do you think this
team is? No, starting pitching, absolutely, because is Nathan Eovaldi going to come back and is he going to be healthy? I mean, he's been shut down in some ways. They're going to try and work him back now. There was an update from Alex Cora that they're going to try and build him up again, but this is taking longer than expected. You're trotting out the likes of Josh Smith and Ryan Weber and Brian Johnson every fifth day, and in a competitive American League East, that's the type of thing that catches up with you, particularly when you're trying to erase a 7-game deficit, which this team has right now. The bullpen's an obvious one, but I don't think people are focusing enough on the performance at the back end of the starting rotation. Porcello's been inconsistent. Rodriguez has been better as of late. But you need consistent 1-5 starting, particularly when you have a bullpen that you can't count on. And the bullpen's the big issue. The bullpen's the issue they have to address. Just don't ignore starting pitching either, because the back end of that rotation has been a little too shaky for my liking.
And there's news today on David Price, who, of course, got pulled early in his last start after it was last weekend. Oh, no. His start prior to that.
Tuesday was a 17-inning game.
Yeah, but then the one prior to that, he didn't even last 2 innings. He had his face ripped off.
Lit up.
Yeah, so what's going on there? We have some news on David Price. I want to tell you about that coming up, the baseball reporters. And we go on, McCarthy, I want to pick your brain about this news yesterday that really was the most exciting thing out of Major League Baseball in weeks, or quite some time.
This is awesome, isn't it?
It's what they are planning to do with the Tampa Bay Rays, who might also be the Montreal Rays for half the season. It's a strange story. We'll get to that and the news on David Price coming up here in the baseball reporters. Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy here with you. You want to join us, 617-779-0.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back, Baseball Reporters. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Jim Murray in for Tony Maz tonight. Matt McCarthy alongside as well, host of the Hardcore Baseball Podcast, which you should be listening to if you're a fan of this show. With any regularity, check it out at 98.5sportshub.com. Download and subscribe. So news on David Price. Mentioned this in the prior segment. So the last start, David Price gets pulled in what seemed like a puzzling situation in Minnesota, what ultimately became that 17-inning game, Matt, earlier in the week. He ended up going, what, 5 2/3?
5 innings, 73 pitches, left the ball game with a 2-1 lead, absolutely cruising, to give the ball to Mike Schwarren.
Yeah, and it was real vague, both how he talked about coming out of that game after it was all over, Alex Cora as well, how they dealt with this. And this is coming off his start before that in Minnesota, where he got his face ripped off, didn't even make 2 innings. And I don't know, like, I think of this, and it's like, okay, they're trying to cover something up. Like, it's the unique elbow of David Price. This is, it's rearing its ugly head again, and they're trying to manage him, or at least manage what's going on inside the unique elbow. Well, we get this from Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic. I think she's the only one that's actually reported this. David Price is going to be pushed back a day and then make his next start next Tuesday. So, I don't know. I'm trying to do the math in my head, which is never a good idea. But this now means he would not pitch in London, correct, at all?
No, it's going to be Rodriguez and Porcello.
Okay.
In London.
But what do you think is going on here? Am I making something out of nothing here, or do you think it's this unique elbow maybe flaring up a little bit, and this thing is days or a start or two away from blowing up?
No, I mean, there's something going on here. I mean, you don't pull your ace, your 217 mil. I mean, the guy who's been the best pitcher on your team this year, you don't pull him after 5 innings and 73 pitches against one of the best teams in the American League with a 1-run lead in the 5th inning. You don't do that. And then Alex Cora said after the game, oh, I'm just trying to manage him because he was coming off a short start. No, so that means he's rested. And of course, that game ends up going 17 innings. So you get totally burned. There was something going on there that night in Minnesota. And there's something going on now. If he's getting pushed back, who knows? I mean, it could be a personal thing and he needs to attend to something. I don't rule that out. But obviously, you think worst case scenario, is he managing something? Is there something going on? Because he's ineffective, then he gets pulled early, and now he gets pushed back with really no explanation. That's odd, and you know, that certainly gets your antennas up a bit.
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, I think it's the elbow thing that's going on with him. He's had this issue in the past. With Nathan Eovaldi, as he's working his way back, do you have any preference where you'd want to see him? Do you want to see him, you know, go back to his normal role as a starter? Or, you know, when we last see him being dominant in the postseason, do you want to see him coming out of the bullpen?
No, you need help in the starting rotation, first and foremost. And I know they need help in the bullpen, but I think you go out and acquire that for a lesser cost at the deadline. You can't keep trotting the likes of Brian Johnson and Josh Smith and Ryan Weber out there every fifth day. You can't do that. Your starting rotation means more to you over the course of 162 games than your bullpen. And now with the way baseball's trending in October, maybe you move into the bullpen in October. Not over the course of the regular season. You need starting pitching over the course of 162. That thought hasn't even crossed my mind. I know it's been suggested by a lot of people. I don't think about that one bit. You need him in the rotation. You need him now.
All right. One of the other things I wanted to talk about, and the phone lines kind of blew up about this last night because it's really been the biggest story in baseball in a little while, and maybe that says more about the sport than anything else if we're being completely honest. But yesterday there was news of the Tampa Bay Rays received permission from Major League Baseball's executive council to explore a plan in which they would play home games in the Tampa Bay area. Again, thus the Tampa Bay Rays. And Montreal, as in Quebec, as in Canada. This was confirmed from Commissioner Rob Manfred. He also went on to say, under this plan, the Rays would play early season home games in the Tampa Bay area the remainder of the year in Montreal, both cities getting new stadiums. The number of home games each city would receive has not been determined. Manfred referred to the idea of a two-city race team as a long-term project. The ability to play games early in the season in Florida would preclude the need for a dome stadium, cutting the cost of a new building. Your thoughts on this, McCarthy? Because the one thing that surprised me about this morning than anything else is that Tony Maz was into it. How about you?
Okay, I love it, but you love it for a different reason. I know Maz actually liked the idea of having this team play in Florida for the first part of the year, then going to Montreal, because what Maz doesn't believe that Montreal can support a baseball team, which I guess the late-era Expos would suggest to you. I like it for a different reason. I don't think they're serious about this one bit. I don't think this is a long-term solution for the Rays at all. This is absolutely a strong-arm tactic by the Rays to try and get a stadium somewhere, to try and get a stadium in Tampa. They can't get public funding for a stadium there right now with the team there full-time. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to try and get public funding for a stadium for a team that's only going to be there half the year. This is never going to work. This is not the intention of the Rays. The intention, at least to me, Jim, is to say, you know what? Last-ditch effort, guys. This is your last chance. Because in 2027, when our lease is up at that hellhole, Tropicana Field, we're bolting. We're going to Montreal. Get your act in gear. Get us public money for a stadium. That's what I think this is. I could see it happening in the short term, though, if they build a stadium in Montreal and, you know, the Rays can't get out of their lease. All of a sudden, they start playing some games. Hell, play games at Olympic Stadium. I don't care. I could see them splitting time before the move, but I don't see this becoming a permanent, you know, for 50 years, the Rays are going to be playing between Montreal and Tampa. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I'm with you in that. I think it's the first steps towards them getting that team out of the Tampa Bay, St. Pete area. Like, that's what it reeks of to me. But if they were ever to try to pull this off, I don't know how this would work from a free agency standpoint. If I was a player and then I realized, you know, my agent's trying to sell me on Tampa/Montreal, like, okay, so wait a minute. Now I have to deal with two different, completely different, tax things that I have to deal with in terms of another country and a different currency as well. I have to have two homes or two places that I need to rent. It's a giant pain in the ass. I'm not doing this. Like, you're having this complete upheaval in your life halfway through the season because you need to go play, you know, 1,000+ miles away to the north. It makes no sense. I would never, ever want to play there as a player. And it's just, it seems like they didn't think, if they were ever to try to do this, that they hadn't thought that part out. I just don't see how that team would ever be a draw for any potential free agent if they were ever to pull this off.
I don't think it's a long-term thing, but in the short term, could you see the Rays splitting time between Montreal and Tampa Bay for 2, 3, 4 years? I mean, hell, whatever it takes to get the Rays, I don't care if you play 40 games in Papua New Guinea. To get that team out of Tampa Bay. Get them out of that garbage market. If you have to do that for 3, 4, 5 years, you do it temporarily. The suggestion, though, that this would be a long-term thing where they're going to build two new stadiums and give me a break with that. There's no way they're actually serious for the reasons that you mentioned. Nobody would want to do that long-term. Short-term, though, I love the idea and I love the creativity to try and either get a stadium down there or get them the hell out. Preferably, get them the hell out.
Yeah, I tend to think maybe I'm just swept up into I got to go to Montreal. I tend to think that baseball might be able to work in Montreal.
I think it can work there.
See, I know how it ended with the Expos there and that nobody was going to those games, but I think a lot of that had to do with Olympic Stadium, so a couple of years ago, if you remember, in the preseason, there was a series that the Red Sox played against Toronto in the old Olympic Stadium. And I happened to be up there to see Iron Maiden or whatever, and I'm with my buddy and his kids, and he was like, hey, we should go see the Sox at that old dump. I was like, you know what? I'm in, because I never got to go at any point. My friends were taking trips up there during, you know, the heyday of the late 90s and the Pedro era and Nomar and all that. I just didn't get to go. And we went, and dude, the place was completely banged out. The whole weekend series, that was banged out. It wasn't just Red Sox fans that made the travel up there. It was Canadians that you could tell there's a real appetite for baseball. So I left there feeling like, oh, this could work. And if you've ever, it's funny because as much as I can't sit through a random Red Sox-Toronto game like tonight, I'll watch any baseball documentary. And there's a great one about that 94 team that was stacked.
They're going to win the World Series.
Pedro, Larry Walker, they had it was essentially an all-star team.
Moises
and then they
Alou.
They had the strike, and that was it. And it's one of the great what-ifs in my sports fandom lifetime. And after that, it's like, okay, no, there was a real appetite here. It's just like anything else. When you put out a winning product, people are going to show up. And if they had a better stadium there than that dump at Olympic Stadium in that horrible area of Montreal, they could actually make it work there. But you can't split. There's no half measures here. You got to have one or the other. But I do think that they should maybe explore putting a team back up there.
And if baseball is really serious about trying the sport again in Montreal, which they should be. I mean, it's a huge city, and I agree with you. You know, from the little time I've spent in Montreal, Jim, I really do think there's an appetite. If you put a nice ballpark down on the river, people would show up. People love the Expos then. They supported the Expos until bad management came in the 90s and 2000s, and they were playing their games in Puerto Rico. Baseball's done this right before they moved that team to Washington. All of a sudden, the Expos started playing in San Juan. I think there's absolutely an appetite for it there. I think it would work, but I hope baseball doesn't half-ass it. If you go in, all in on Montreal, you can't give that team 40 games or whatever. Put them there real time. Put them there full time. Let people embrace baseball in Montreal again. That would be huge for the sport. I totally think it would.
You look at that, because you're would you say 28?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're too young, dude. That I like, that was one of those teams, you know, something, because again, 1994 Red Sox, they pretty much sucked. So like, I latched on because that Expos team was exciting. Like Marquise Grissom, Moises Alou, Larry Walker, Rondell White, who was pretty good, Pedro Martinez, Darren Fletcher, who was kind of nasty, Mike Lansing. Like they had that team was stacked.
That team was so good. If you baseball reference them, it's unreal how good they were. Wasn't Hill the pitcher? He was an all-star that year.
Oh, yeah, Hill.
Ed John Wetland, right? Wasn't he their closer?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Lynn's own Kenny Hill. That's right. Yeah. No, that team was nasty. And then it's just, again, like one of the great what-ifs, because they had that stupid strike that year and it all got dismantled and we never know. But I do think that they could make it work in Montreal. But this split thing, it's one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard for me. But maybe it's like, maybe, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you say, like, baseball's bringing this up just to get people to talk about it, and it's not really a plan. It's like the IHOP thing they did last year,
yeah,
when they changed to IHOB, and it got everybody talking. That's what baseball's doing with this. This can't be real. But your thoughts on this, you want to join us, 617-779-0985. Another thing that has come up in Major League Baseball, I want to get your thoughts on, McCarthy, coming up, are the umps. Oh, the whiny, whiny umps. Oh, wow. Oh, no. Ump lives matter. Hashtag the violence. Oh, boy. These stupid babies. We'll get to them coming up right after the Sports Hub headlines with Matt McCarthy. It's the Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Time and temperature brought to you by Massachusetts Executive Office of Public Safety and Security. 6:39 right now in the city of Boston. Summer is here and motorcycles are everywhere in Massachusetts. Remember, riders die when you don't see them. Look for bikes. Look for life.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just as an aside, Baseball Reporters, 98.5 Sports, of Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in tonight. Like the David Ortiz situation in the Dominican Republic, which is one of life's great mysteries. One of the life's great mysteries to me is why we have so many ska rejoins here at the Sports Hub. I just...
Blame Hardy.
I don't get it. Okay, so something I also wanted to pick your brain about there, baseball boy, Matt McCarthy, who hosts the Hardcore Baseball Podcast. If you listen to this show with any regularity with Maz, you would love the Hardcore Baseball Podcast. Check it out, 98.5sportshub.com, and subscribe. So, earlier this week, the Padres' Manny Machado received a one-game suspension from Major League Baseball for, and I'm using quotes, aggressively arguing and making contact with umpire Bill Welke during a game against the Rockies last Saturday. Machado also threw his bat against the backstop. He had a meltdown. A little bit unprofessional, but he threw his bat, threw the bat against the backstop. And he denied making contact with Welke in terms of like any kind of bump. But he didn't hit. The bottom line is this, people, if you haven't seen this, he didn't hit anyone with the bat. Threw it in frustration, but that's it. And so the umpires union, excuse me, just drank a seltzer, a little gassy. The umpires union took to social media Tuesday, Facebook and Twitter, issuing statements that accused the league of going easy on Machado. It read, "What kind of precedent is that setting?" The MLBPUA said on Facebook, "It's not, in all caps, so you know it's serious, not okay to throw a temper tantrum and physically touch someone of authority just because you don't agree. Violence in all workplaces is not tolerated, period." Another statement on Twitter. So there was a longer one on Facebook. The one that was on Twitter was just extra bitchy, using the word violently in all caps to describe the bat-throwing part of the incident. They also used many hashtags, 12 hashtags, including hashtag violence, hashtag not tolerated, hashtag temper tantrum. I thought for quite some time, McCarthy, that the umps are completely out of control. But before I get to my thoughts on it, and I talked about this earlier in the week with Maz, you tell me. Baseball umpires, this whole act, the day after the suspension of Manny Machado, your thoughts?
Can I just first and foremost say that Manny Machado probably should have been suspended for more than one game. He is a repeat offender. He's a problem child in baseball. Whatever. That's fine.
All right. So if this, I didn't think about that. Yeah. I'm sorry. I hadn't thought about that. So if there's a track record, okay, yeah, you want to get him another game. Maybe say it's three, fine.
Sure.
I can understand that.
Whatever. I understand. You know, baseball was too lenient on Manny Machado. Let's just get that out of the way. This statement by the Umpires Association is an absolute joke. And I think one of the great scourges on society in this day and age, Jim, whoever you are, Joe Murray, Jim Murray, whatever, Big Jim. One of the great scourges on society are umpires and referees associations on Twitter. Like the NBA Referees Association, they're starting lineups during the playoffs when they tweet out the starting lineups. And this crap with all these hashtags, hashtag make an example of, hashtag repeat offender, hashtag disappointed, cut the crap. Nobody, absolutely nobody is there to watch you umpire. You want to go to Joe Torre, whoever, and complain behind the scenes? That's fine. The response statements from baseball and the Players Association are great, too. Because it's the only thing that those sides can agree on, that these guys are total DBs. Enough.
Yeah, and I said earlier in the week with Maz, like they have a persecution complex, especially Major League Baseball umpires have a very much have a persecution complex. Like ump lives matter, and they do not. And they hold grudges. They're petty. Some of them think they're the stars. There's reasons, Matt, that we know names like Angel Hernandez and Joe West and Ron Culpa. We shouldn't know the names of umpires in or the officials in any sports, but we do know the names of Major League Baseball umpires, and we know the names of referees in the NBA because they try to make it about them. And it's happening way too much. So, okay, Manny Machado, unprofessional. He had a nutty, but he didn't haul off and punch the ump. These babies take to Facebook and Twitter. They post these comments. And they really sound like heartbroken teenage girls when they do this kind of thing. That's their answer. And considering how they all carry themselves, it's unprofessional and it's appropriate considering their actions on the field. Like I'm not surprised at all that they did this. They should stop because it's unbecoming and it looks completely stupid. And I think it makes them. I don't know anyone that's really siding with any umps in this case and taking to social media and whining about this. So again, bring on the robots. And apparently, I saw another thing too today. As Drubal Cabrera has been suspended four games for throwing equipment from the dugout at umpire Bill Miller last night. Okay, so what are we talking here? Is it a water cooler, the Gatorade cooler? Maybe it was the big container of sunflower seeds, something that might be able to bruise. He threw a batting glove. He threw a batting glove at the ump.
Makeup call. Makeup call for Major League Baseball and Joe Torre. That's what that is.
It's ridiculous. All right, your thoughts on this and anything else that we've discussed so far in the Baseball Reporters today? Paul in the car wants to weigh in on that Tampa-Montreal bi-coastal, bi-team. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Just very quickly on the umpires, I would also add in the word duplicitous because they can bellyache all they want, and I'm not giving Manny a pass at all. It's just, also unacceptable. But they never get held accountable for anything.
That's true.
Anything ever. So for them to come out like this and start bellyaching and crying, it's just laughable. On the Expos, I'm going to throw a couple more names at you. Warren Cromartie, Tim Raines, Andre Dawson, Carter. They just have a great Jackie Robinson. Prior to the Expos, he played his minor league ball up there for the Dodgers.
Yeah, you're just saying historically, not the 94 team. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And my son just started going to college up there this past year. I spent a lot of time in Montreal in the last 12 months. Great international city, great craft beer scene, great food, and they love their sports. The football scene up there is incredible. I know it's the CFL. But I think compared to Tampa Bay, Montreal is an absolute yes. Get that team out of there in Florida. I don't think they could split the season for tax reasons, for residences, for the players, and just selling the game in two different locations. I don't think that's doable. But I'm glad the discussion has come up about Montreal. I think they deserve a team.
We think we might have dropped you on that. But thanks very much for the phone call. Yeah, look, he's right, too. So I've been up there during the time where the Alouettes are playing, that's the CFL team he just referenced. They kind of bang that place out. Like, people care. Yeah. They're people are passionate, obviously, about the Canadiens, and there's a precipitous drop off to whatever's next. But baseball worked there before, as long as you put out a good product. So that they should explore that fully. I also think, look, if they're trying to get the Rays out of Tampa, why not Nashville? If you still want to have a presence in the South.
Yeah, I could absolutely see Nashville working. I mean, listen, baseball is talking about expansion. And actually, you and I, here's a cheap plug, you and I talked about expansion on the Hardcore Baseball podcast. Right. Baseball America did an awesome feature on the six cities that baseball is considering for expansion. They need to get the Rays situation figured out first. They need to get the A's situation figured out first as well. But after that, baseball's going to want to expand sometime in the next decade, decade and a half. A party city like Nashville, a fast-growing town, you want to talk about a destination city, an event city? That's what baseball should be looking for. If you're going to get a team out of Tampa, where people only show up when it's a Red Sox-Yankees event, you want to go to a city where there's going to be support for a team. And listen, I don't know if baseball is going to work in Montreal. I think it will. I can tell you that it will certainly work better than it would work in Tampa. I can guarantee you that. But if people are in town and the Expos or whoever there, that's an event. That's a draw. It's like Vegas in the NHL. People are going to go. To me, it's a no-brainer. Get this team, get an expansion team to Montreal somehow. Nashville would be second or third on my list.
And so, yeah, the six markets that when this was bandied about from Rob Manfred, Vegas was also one of them. It was Portland, mm-hmm. Vegas, Charlotte, Nashville, Montreal, Vancouver,
yes.
Right? Yeah, so, and I forget what I had said when we talked on the podcast.
You wanted Nashville and Montreal for the party purposes.
Yeah.
Can you imagine as a Red Sox fan being able to go up to Montreal for a weekend series?
Yeah, I know I definitely
said
Nashville.
Awesome.
Nashville itself, like, look, that was, I did my typical yearly Patriots road trip with my buddies last year, and we went to Nashville, and obviously it was maybe the worst game in the whole year for the Patriots. But boy, a great time. Like, you forget about it, even if you go and you see your team get its ass kicked. Like, when they first opened Camden Yards, like, how many Red Sox fans, and still Red Sox fans will make that trip. Like, that's good weekend series as long as you get good weather. But the draw when they first opened that place, like, that's good. But I don't know, how much partying can you do in Baltimore? Like, that gets a little old. That's sustainable in a place like Nashville that's consistently a party city. That's sustainable in a place like Montreal. You'll want to travel there. Vegas, obviously, if they put a team there, sustainable. That's one of the draws, I think, for NHL fans that want to maybe see their team randomly play. If you're lucky enough to get on a weekend, you fly out there, you see them play the Golden Knights, and you spend a couple of days in Vegas. It's a win-win. Charlotte?
Ugh.
Portland? Vancouver's maybe the prettiest place I've been to in North America, but holy crap. Good luck flying there. No, I think that they should look at Vegas. They should look at Nashville and Montreal. Like, those are the places. If they're trying to get the Rays out of there, that's where Major League Baseball should look. Let's go to Bill in the truck. Been hanging, wants to talk about Major League Baseball length of games. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, good evening, guys. Jim, you talked about how you thought games are too long, and I'm just curious, is that more of a broadcasting complaint, or do the players think it's too long? Do the average, average watcher actually believe it's too long? I'm just curious if it's more of your opinion and all the broadcasters' opinion, or is the rest of the world out there? Have they done a poll on that?
I haven't seen any official polls, but you're around the game and go to more games than certainly I have in recent years there, McCarthy. And I'll tell you, having sat in like the media deck and been to games and covered them in the past, no, everyone's bitching about them, let me tell you. Especially if you get a rain delay or a game takes too long or you have a pitcher taking, like a minute before he throws an effing pitch. The players are the problem. The players are the problem. I was telling Matt McCarthy earlier, I had forgot, for whatever the hell reason, who the Yankees played the 1999 World Series. Just, it was something that popped in my mind like a week ago. And I looked it up on Baseball Reference. And I was like, oh, okay, it's the Atlanta Braves. And then, for whatever reason, it caught my eye. I was like, oh, game one was 2 hours, 27 minutes. How about that? Game two was 2 hours and like 18 minutes. All the games were like two and change, the way they should be. That's only 20 years ago. the games are interminable because of the players, because these babies won't pitch. They won't throw the ball. They take their sweet-ass time. It's not the broadcast. Watch a game on Nesson now.
Oh, it's brutal.
O'Brien's still, like, talking, and they're already in commercials. Like, there's no... You don't even see graphics or anything like that. Like you would see like these inlays or whatever to ease yourself into the commercial break. It's like, oh, and that's the end of the, you know, the sixth inning. And then bang, like commercials all right over the head. Like they're trying to, believe me, they're trying. It's not the broadcast. They're trying their damnedest to hurry these things along. It's the players, caller. It's the players. The players are the problem.
And if you want an informal poll as to whether fans, you know, just your average run-of-the-mill fan cares about this, take a look at Fenway Park in the eighth inning every night. This is a baseball town. It always has. And so long as baseball is still a thing, there will always be that element of Boston. That place is, what, 75? If it's a sellout, there's probably, what, 65, 75% of people left in the eighth inning. The games are taking too long.
Yeah. 12 of 30 teams have seen a drop at the gates in terms of attendance in recent years, too. So this is – do yourself a favor. Google MLB attendance and the word drop afterwards. And then there's your polls and your stories. You want to read up on that. So, no, it's affecting it. They get these things. Matt, it wouldn't take much. Because, again, these are the dog days, as we're going to get into, and there's not much to talk about. They get these games to two and change. Monday night's game, I enjoyed. It was a pitcher's duel.
It was awesome.
It was two and change, the way it should be. When you start getting to 4 hours, or you get, like, 17-inning games that go, like, almost 6 hours, like, I can't. I won't.
They're down 3 million fans?
This year?
Did you just look that up?
Yeah, I just Googled it. Googled it, Murray.
Oh, see? Yeah.
This is quoting it from a story from something named the Courier Journal.
Oh, the most important journal, yes.
Of the league's 30 teams, 18 are experiencing an attendance drop. And this after a 2018 season in which attendance was down more than 3 million fans.
Wake up, the sport's dying. And I say that as somebody who loves baseball more than anything else.
It's the baseball.
The sport is dying.
Baseball reporters, everyone. Jim Murray is your host. This is kind of what you get. Matt McCarthy cares. He's got that hardcore baseball podcast. Again, check it out, 98.5thesportshub.com. All right, we're up against
two rebuilding teams play a baseball game and no one's there to watch, did the game actually happen?
That's a good question. Back after this, and we will segue. Is Jones in tonight?
Scheduled to.
All right, well, we'll wrap up and get to Jones and give you the Big Y matchup of the night. Next, here on the Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
As we wrap up the baseball reporters here tonight, give you the big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market. Big Y serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. It's the Blue Jays and Red Sox starting off this weekend series. It's Chris Sale going up against Trent Thornton, who comes in with a record of 2-5 and a 4.36 earned run average. Red Sox batters never faced righty Trent Thornton. He is a rookie for the Blue Jays. Randall Grichuk, 4-10 off Chris Sale in his career with a double and a home run, only one strikeout. So keep an eye on him. For those of you that are fantasy players, Randall Grichuk might be someone you want to crowbar into your lineup against Chris Sale. Again, 4-10 with a double and a home run in tonight's game. He is the big matchup of the game, Grichuk against Sale. Matt McCarthy, it's been a pleasure, pal, and thankfully I'll have you alongside Monday, as they still have me penciled in to host this show Monday, so thankfully they'll have someone that is truly passionate about the game in Matt McCarthy, host of Hardcore Baseball. We do it all again, the Baseball Report is coming up Monday.
You sound thrilled. Yeah.
No, actually, this was a party today. This was good. I said to Jones the other day, I was like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do here. We're going to talk about going into this after a night off for the Sox. We're going to talk up Jays Sox this weekend series. No, it's just going to be a bitch fest instead.
I knew you were looking forward to it when you texted me on Tuesday. Are you with me? All right, good. Tuesday.
Yeah, I think it worked out all right. It's Jones and Arcan coming up next. How was the Auerbach Center last night?
It was very, very welcoming. I feel like we're welcome in there. We slowly slide further and further away from where all the activity happens, but we're not in the basement yet. Wasn't too bad. I think you guys can do more on Montreal and Tampa Bay. I think the people are into this.
They are.
They're really into it.
Even yesterday, that was the thing. That's why I was like, this might be the whole hour tomorrow. Because yesterday, we got a lot of calls, or Maz got a lot of calls on this, because people have thoughts.
I got to tell you, I think, you know what might be a good way to save your little sport over there, McCarthy?
Yeah. I'm open to suggestions.
Split every team. Split every team. Like, no one has time for 162 games, so split every team.
Traveling circus.
Yeah. The Red Sox, it's basically a half a season. They can play half the season, 40 home games and 40 away games with Boston, and then 40 home and 40 away somewhere else. Fort Myers or wherever, I don't care.
Yeah,
that's shortened the season.
I had another thought, but Jimmy Stewart is staring daggers at me with his backpack over his shoulder, which I can read his mind saying, shut up and end the show, stupid.
Long tease for Monday.
Yeah, that's right. Long tease. Yeah. That's right.
72. Shut up and end the show, stupid.
72-hour long tease for 6 o'clock on Monday. There you go, Big
Jones and Arcan coming up next. You want to get on with them, 617-779-0985. Talk to you tomorrow morning, 11 to 2. Gasper Murray, bye.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.